Introduction. As a child, I vividly remember being told Jesus was crucified because he disappointed the expectations of the Jewish nation. They wanted a political military leader who would give them back the prestige and power they had enjoyed during King Solomon's reign, and Jesus did not fulfill these hopes and ambitions. Even in my early years, I wondered if history would repeat itself. Could it be that when Jesus comes the second time, he will again be rejected by many because their false expectations are not met? In the following pages, I attempt to be honest with what Jesus told us of God and my expectations of why Jesus comes back to earth. The change in my thinking has been painful, as all changes. However, in the end, I believe this pain is worth the joy of knowing God as he really is. One is in a bit of a catch-22 situation, since there is also pain in trying to admire or serve a God who is often portrayed as inconsistent, arbitrary and vindictive. I am distressed when I find God described as a harsh, power-hungry demagogue, even though it is done in all sincerity. Perhaps you have experienced the same discomfort and will welcome some of these thoughts. Because I know God is unselfish and cares deeply or loves us, he must be very different to selfish sinners. Ps 50:21. Some of these differences are described in the following pages. What I think I have discovered has inspired my admiration and adoration of him whom my heart has come to love. Even so, I recognize that my journey, as every man's journey, stops short of the truth of God. Our finiteness and fear discontinues the search. Far too soon, our selfishness limits the search, and our practice weakens the search. I need you to help me press on with this journey, for God's glory and our corporate joy. Jesus told a parable about the treasure hidden in a field, Matthew 13:44. A farmer hired land, found treasure and sold all he had to buy the field. The treasure was worth more than anything else in the world to him. Compelled by desire for the treasure, selling all was not a sacrifice but a joy. For the sheer joy of gaining the treasure, he gladly swapped his comforts and securities in life. What was Jesus teaching through this parable? The treasure is the gospel, the good news about God's kindness and grace. The field represents both the person of Jesus, who is the Word, and the scriptures. How then is the gospel hidden in Jesus and the Bible? Who hid the gospel? If Jesus came to share the good news about the Father, and the Bible is a revelation of God's mind to us, how could the gospel be hidden? The selfishness of the religious leaders of Jesus' day prevented many of them from admitting what they realized to be true. Jesus of Nazareth was of such purity and kindness that he had to be Messiah. Our selfishness today results in a similar blindness. Problems in business, church, marriage, and society are largely the result of the selfishness or unwillingness to forgive and accept, to focus on the best and forget the rest. One of the worst consequences of our selfishness is that we blame our problems on someone else: the government, the computer, the police, or people of different color or culture. The list goes on forever. Finally, we end up blaming God. So, in a way, this book is about taking responsibility for ourselves, more especially our relationship with God. It is the opposite of fatalism, determinism, or predestination. Call it what we will. These essays are an attempt to take responsibility for what we have done to each other and to the planet. It is a plea for taking responsibility for our troubles, traumas and tragedies instead of blaming God and others for them. Yes, there is a supernatural devil who influences and afflicts us. There are evil thoughts and actions perpetrated by other people, but it is our consenting to evil with which I am concerned. One way of taking this responsibility is to recognize that we impose our ways, our views and our opinions on what is written in the scriptures. Jesus, for instance, speaks of not taking revenge and encourages us to recognize the hatred in our hearts and the prejudice in our persons. Yet revenge, prejudice and hatred continue in many Christian communities. It is as if the Sermon on the Mountain was never spoken and never reported. Tragically, we pretend the teachings of Jesus mean something quite different. The commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." We have interpreted this to mean thou shalt not kill unless ordered to do so by government or society. We seem to have almost no qualms about abortion, war or capital punishment. The real God escapes us because of our traditional views, many or most of which are rooted in selfishness. But more about this later. This book is a collection of mostly freestanding essays. There is very little documentation and often some repetition. The titles are arranged alphabetically. I have written out of my deep concern for the misconceptions that surround God's character. What we think of God has the potential of profoundly changing our ways, thinking and living. We must then come to the best understanding we can of who God is and what his thoughts and attitudes are towards us, because this knowledge will, in turn, influence the way we relate to God, others and ourselves. If my picture of God turns out to be wrong, and we shall soon know, for the end of all things is upon us, it does not really matter, since my reason for writing was because I had to speak well of God. One other thing I do know, I am a better man for having met the God of these essays. I can listen to you, because God has heard me. I can forgive you, because God has forgiven me. I can give you the freedom to be what you choose to be, without trying to force you by logic or ridicule to change, because of the freedom I have in God. It is, after all, the truth about God that sets us free from cruelty, impatience, and all those horrible inheritances we have as sinners. Truth is not tested by what it does for others, but what it does in our own lives. This is the acid test. Do the ideas presented in these essays inspire you to be more patient, more kind, and easier to live with? This is where the rubber meets the road. On that criteria I would like them judged. Not all the interesting passages in the scriptures that portray God in the traditional way can be dealt with. The principles of God's character are dealt with in the hope that the reader will continue on the greatest journey that can ever be taken, to attempt to understand some of the depth of God's grace. Thank you, Irma, Lenore, Liz and Marilyn, for the trouble you have gone to in editing this book. Thank you also, Jin, Henny, Mark, Ron, Cobus, Joan and Mike, for talking about many of the topics mentioned and reading drafts of these essays. Without your encouragement they might never have been. I want you to know, and know it well, that I have written for God's sake. Although writing about God is arrogant and inadequate, I have tried to write in the best way I can. I want him to be known for what he really is. As far as I can tell it, I believe that when the picture is painted, as it is life-changing for those who see it and want something more than what is human. Don't believe anything about God that would make you think less of his, for it cannot be true. You cannot believe him to be better than he really is. Hugh Williams.